When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and yes, it is time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not-so-daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And I'm still obsessed with this idea of the clean slate and new projects, as I was talking about in the last episode, but I'm going to expand on that a little bit by talking about the hook and the character of a project. By character, I mean not the characters in a story, but the character as in the qualities, the log line, the essence of what your project is, story or other projects. And let's talk about projects first before I go into what I mean by the hook and the character. As I hinted last time, I'm beginning to play around with this new project idea that Sarah Turner planted the seed of in my mind when she was out here for Kids Read Comics. And it's, as I said, it's going to be a lightweight project to run alongside of when I get back to working on the front later on this year. But it's a new story with new characters, new premise. So I'm starting from scratch with this thing. And for me personally, one of the ways I like to get at a new project and a new story is to really think from that 1,000-foot view down, looking at what is the overall feeling of this thing? What is it that I hope to achieve with this story in terms of essence, tone, overall quality, not just the events of the story, not just the theme of the story, but also how do I want this story to make people feel? And we'll get more into that in a second. The other thing is I'm toying around with some new audio project ideas and projects relating to the art and story stuff. And my goal, and I probably will expand on this more as I fully investigate this and as I really do plan on documenting this process through Thunder Punch Daily and Art and Story, is I want these new audio projects to tie into my creative work so I can get double duty out of them. And so it's not, it doesn't eat up any undue amount of my time. I really want to streamline the rest of my year, as I talked about before. And I want to make sure that whatever creative projects I take on is stuff that I can make into art and story content as well. One of the frustrations I've been suffering from the last couple years is I've been involved in some creative projects that I really can't share with anybody. And it's incredibly frustrating because from everybody else's standpoint, it looks like I'm really not doing as much illustration work, but I'm doing a ton of illustration work. It's just, it's all non-disclosure kind of junk. And I'm eager to get back to doing creative works that I can document the process of as I create them, both as a means to get that immediate satisfaction of showing what I'm doing, but also to be able to use stuff I'm working on now to support things that I'm saying through the podcasts. But one of the things that I'm working on that I can reveal a little bit about now is I'm looking to relaunch Art and Story Alive as a completely new entity. And I've been in talks with Krishna Sadasivam of PCWeenies.com about relaunching it, but as a more focused, more specific art and story show that's aimed at the beginning cartoonist, and make Art and Story Alive sort of a teaching show that's really aimed at the person who's just picking up the pencil for the first time. And we will do sort of like a short mini lesson, because he and I are both teachers. And there will be some kind of assignment at the end of every episode, and then we will post the assignments in the Art and Story Forum. So I'm really excited about that. But how did I get to that? How did I get to that reimagining of it? First thing, I want to go on a sub point. This is something that I find, I scratch my head when I hear people say that they get involved in a project and they get bored with it and then they just abandon it. I do understand that you can get bored with the project and it can become something that you don't want to do anymore. I totally understand that. And when that happens, I think there's no honor lost, no shame, and just abandoning it if there's no way to save it. But I always think about, is there a way to, it's your project. Can't you just reimagine it and revitalize it again? And that's what was part of the idea behind relaunching Art and Story Alive, is rather than just let it die because it turned into something that wasn't quite as fun to me anymore, because of problems with TalkShoe, and it was a lot of work to put that show together and make it sound good using the TalkShoe software. How can we use different software, and how can we use a different format to make it even more rich and compelling and make it more focused? Let's give this thing a character. Now I'm going to talk about character real quick, the character of a project. Quick anecdote. When we were planning Kids Read Comics this year, the topic came up. We were approaching different funding sources, different people who wanted to give us material support for the event. And one of them was the U.S. Army. And I was not against accepting money from the U.S. Army to make this event a possibility because it costs a lot of money to make these events. However, the suggestion arose to bring tanks and those big Hummer cars and put them on the premises for of the event for kids to climb around in and have fun in. And it itched me the wrong way. And I couldn't figure out why. Why did that bother me so much? Well, after some discussion with the other co-organizers, we came to the conclusion that it really kind of felt a little bit like it was a recruiting strategy. Look how cool the Army is, kids. Now, it's one thing for the Army to say, to put their logo on our t-shirt, because we had some Kids Read Comics t-shirts with like logos from the funding sources on it. It's one thing for them to say the U.S. Army supported this event because they believe that literacy and comics are cool and important. But it's another thing entirely to use that leverage to turn it into a recruiting mechanism. And Dan Mishkin said in our discussions that we don't want anything to change the character of our event. And that invited me to think, to say, what is the character of our event? The character of our event is about promoting comics and promoting reading as a cherished activity in the home and promote the library as a mechanism that can facilitate that. So that's what I mean by character. This goes back to an earlier Thunder Punch Daily I did where I was talking about the why. Why do you do what you do? And having that statement of what you do helps keep you on track. And it helps you identify what the character of your project, whatever it is. So a story can have a character to it. A story can have a character in terms of what its mission is, what you want people to, and I'm not talking about inculcating people with a philosophy or a point of view. I'm talking about just making people feel something. The character of my story is to make people feel this, because that's what I hope to make people feel. Now, ultimately, you can't control that. Everybody's going to get what they want in your story, and that's the way it should be. But there's also author intent. And author intent and having that vision of what your character of your story is will help you develop ideas and learn what needs to be thrown out and what you can keep as you start spitballing or throwing spaghetti at the wall. So that's how I got to thinking of Art and Story Live as not necessarily a live conversation show, because art and story can really be that. You know, it's just art and story, but live. How can I make it something unique? How can I make it art and story, but servicing a very specific thing? And that's when it occurred to me, okay, the character of this show will be, this is the show for the first timers who want to have a hands-on activity at the end of an episode, rather than where art and story, we can kind of zip back and forth between beginner stuff to really, I don't want to say advanced, but maybe somewhat sophisticated, somewhat esoteric, and certainly ponderous, at least speaking only for myself. So that's what I mean by character, coming up with what makes this thing unique and how can you identify this project in a sentence? So coming back to the project I'm doing with Sarah, that's the thing I'm struggling with now. And I'm just documenting this as a means to highlight this process for you, the art and storyers, is with this new project. In the past, all I've ever done, well, not all I've ever done, but one of the main things I've focused on is the character of my stories is what would make me excited as a 12-year-old? How can I create a story that feels essentially like those 80s cartoons I grew up on that I talk about all the time? And that's pretty much what most of my stories have followed along with in terms of character. Now, this new thing that Sarah and I are working on, it presents the opportunity to investigate a slightly different character. One of the things I'm interested in exploring is making a story that's a little bit on the scary side. Scary in a safe way, because I'm always aiming my stories at children. I want to create stories that make the young or the young at heart excited. And so obviously it's not going to be horror, but I want to start playing around with some maybe a little bit more frightening themes, maybe a little bit more heavy themes, but in a safe and all ages kid-friendly way. So that opens up the possibility to start thinking about what is the character of this project? How can I make it address frightening or dangerous environments and story premises and themes? And how can I do that through characters, character designs, and events in the story. How does that get me thinking differently about the villain of the story, the antagonist of the story? What's the antagonist going to be? In my standard go-to for a villain in a lot of my stories is the fist-shaking, maniacal Shakespearean villain. And I love those guys, and I love writing those guys. But when I started thinking about them from a little bit more of a frightening and scary standpoint, now I have to think a little bit harder about it, because the Brigadier General in the front, I just got an email about this recently from somebody who said, you know, he's a lot more intimidating when his mask is down. And a trick that I do a lot in the story is whenever I want to explore some comedic moments in the story is his mask flips up. I admit this is totally inspired by Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. Whenever Rick Moranis is going to do something silly, the mask flips up and then we actually get to see his facial expressions. So I always construct my villains to be a little on the funny side, somebody we're supposed to not necessarily sympathize with, but not feel terribly threatened by. Now I'm thinking a little harder about creating a villain who we'd feel a little threatened by, a little bit of a boogeyman. So that's an interesting thing that I'm looking forward to documenting on the show. Now let's talk about The Hook. The Hook is the hook of art and story is the show that digs deep into the craft of cartooning. It's a one-sentence statement that tells you what to expect and what to look forward to in the story. In terms of a story, a literary narrative hook, it's something that happens at the very beginning of your story that invites prediction. It invites you to wonder what's going to happen next in the front. To talk about the front again. There's that scene that the book opens with Thirsty and Sam teetering on the brink of death on the top of a Ferris wheel that's being torn apart by a big hairy monster in pants. And the hook there is, how did he get to this point? Is he going to survive? And what the heck is going on with this big hairy monster that talks like a baby? And then I pull the rug out on page two by having Thirsty stop the narrative and say, let me back up to this morning and start telling you things from the beginning. Now, if I had started the story on page three, where we're starting with Thirsty waking up that morning in his apartment, it's not very interesting. We've all seen somebody wake up in the morning. But now by creating that hook of saying, here's the dangerous thing that happens in midway through our story, and we're going to get back to that. Now I've given you something to look forward to later on in the tale, so I can get through all of that setup stuff of introducing my characters and having all of these exposition moments of them talking to each other in a way that teaches us something about who they are. So nothing made me more bored than when I would see a movie and it would have an animated opening like the I Dream of Jeannie TV show, and have this cool animation. I get all excited about what's this going to be, and then it would start with like an establishing shot of like a cornfield and a car driving on the road. And it's like, as a little kid, I was like, oh, boring. I've seen a cornfield before. Get to the interesting stuff. Now, that's a 12-year-old talking. But I think that it's something that we should think about in terms of our audiences. How can we make things start off with in a really interesting way? And then we can slow down after that. But so the hook can also be about a audio project. I'm also thinking about what's going to be the hook for Art and Story Alive. How can I come up with a line that says, this is the show for beginning cartoonists. This is the show where you're going to have a done-in-one activity at the end of every episode. That's something I got to figure out now. And also in terms of some other projects that I want to do, this is something I'm thinking really hard about. Is think about that hook, that opening line that gets people excited and motivated to listen, gets people excited and motivated to read on. And then also tie that hook into what the essential character of the show is. So I'm not betraying them. So I'm not saying this, if we did Art and Story and said, this is the show that digs deep into the craft of cartooning, and then all we talked about was He-Man figures for an hour, that's not getting very deep. Well, I guess it could. But if all we talked about was what we purchased this week, you know, it's like, oh, I'm looking forward to getting the new She-Ra figure. She's cool. Oh, you know, Man-at-Arms was neat because he had a mustache. That's not digging very deep. So you have to have that character in mind, the character of what you're doing, as a means to give you a yardstick to measure yourself by. This goes back to the Why episode of Thunder Punch Daily. This goes back to something I've talked about in terms of theme, but theme can be very, theme is a more specific version of the character. The character is the overall quality of what you hope to achieve through the project. So them's my thoughts today. I'm going to be sharing more of this in weeks to come. As I document this, I mean, as I said, this is really hot in my mind. This is something I'm thinking about a lot. It's something I'm very excited about. So I'll probably wind up doing a lot of these thunder punches where I talk super fast as I'm trying to barrel through these thoughts and wrestle with them. Also, I'm going to be going out of town next week. I'm going to Washington, D.C. However, I am taking all of my equipment with me so I can do Thunder Punch dailies from Washington, D.C. So you can expect more updates, possibly even more than usual, because I'm going to be doing spending a little bit of time by myself while my wife is going to some library conferences. I'm looking forward to the downtime to really just sit with my thoughts and start to take some notes for some of these new creative projects. And just, it's going to be nice to be away from the home office for a little while and dealing with some of these, putting out these fires that I've been putting out lately with freelance illustration. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Don't forget to check out the other shows. Kevin Cross's High Adventure Daily, Mark Rudolph's Mark of the Beast. I should say, it's been a while since I've mentioned this. The music was for this episode, for the theme song, was created by my brother Elliot Drozd, and he's getting closer to launching his own website. I'll be making some noise about that in the near future. Also, the VO was done by Tara Platt of TaraPlatt.com. Professional voice actress, and I'm very grateful for the wonderful VO she gave at the top. It always makes me smile every time I hear it, and I hope it does the same for you. So, and last but not least, thank you very much for your support. We couldn't do this stuff without you. And it means the world to me that you guys are continuing to, you know, stay subscribed to the Art and Story Supreme Project. I think I've decided that when I start doing Thunder Punch Daily, truly daily, it's going to be all for the Supreme subscribers. So it'll be my way to say thank you to you guys for being so, so supportive of this thing. You guys could bail in any second, and the fact that you don't, you know, really is a huge reassurance to me that we're on the right track and we're doing something that's useful to you guys. And again, my pledge is I plan to do a lot more in with the character of being useful and helpful to you guys. So, okay, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
Today we met Garth, who to some people looked like a monster. But Garth wasn't a monster. He was a good person with a noble soul. And in the end, his beauty showed through. Real beauty comes from inside, which is why ugly people can sometimes be the most beautiful people to know, and why people who look beautiful sometimes act very ugly. Being beautiful on the outside is all right, but being beautiful on the inside, that's the best.